Look in my eyes for my mind state. I'm on the grind 25A. Money on my mind, that's how I play. If you got it now, this what I say.
Here. Well, once again, another guest. First time using IG Live.
Am I doing this? Maybe second time. I did one in my garage once.
Ooh.
Everybody, I'm trying to follow everybody else.
Hey. Hey.
Everybody on.
Oh, y'all get quiet when Kobe up in here, huh? It's real quiet up in here.
You know what? Yeah.
Should we do it?
We haven't done it in a while.
Yep. Funk is on a roll.
What you got for me?
Okay. I don't think there's a better icebreaker in the world than that right there.
Brontosaurus.
Wow.
Yes. Man, episode 24, episode Kobe, man.
That's right.
And we got the Kobe Bryant of the WWE right here, man.
Oh, God, that's, I said it, and I mean it.
He dropped that. I've been holding that one in my pocket for a minute. Kobe, in case y'all don't know, Swerve City Podcast. He's a former WWE champion. IG Live right there, man.
Yeah.
We in here. We got time with Kofi. He took a lot of time out of his day to come in here.
Oh, come on, man.
Support us, man.
It ain't nothing.
Shoot, it's everything to us.
It ain't nothing.
And some folks here. Look at the team right here.
Yeah. I'm digging the setup, man. This is phenomenal. You know what I'm saying? I feel like in these dire times, you know what I'm saying? Like, everybody's finding a way to kind of foster their creativity, man. And, like, literally from the moment you walk in the door, you show me your little studio out there, you know what I'm saying? And then your real studio in here. I see everybody. This is everybody who's been on the show.
These are people I've worked with over the past years. Like, British Strong Style up there, Morrison. Like, I worked with all these people. Like,
it's great.
Yeah. Ultimo Dragon, I wrestled.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Wrestled him, North Carolina. I think you weren't there on that one, but that was an NGW over there.
Yeah,
Shout out NGW, Cody Ford, bro. Yeah,
I'm digging the vibe though.
Yeah, thank you, man.
For real,
I'm digging this vibe, man.
Shout out Sagasi.
Yep. So, last episode we had Austin Theory, episode 23. We got real with him, but even though like in such a short career that he's had so far. His mind is like 10 years ahead already.
Oh, yeah.
And so now we're going opposite. We have someone with a lineage as far as you.
Whose mind is going...
Whose mind is
regressing? Is that what you're trying to say? The opposite?
I would say between the three of you, Big E and Xavier, man, y'all are like moving the business forward years ahead with everything y'all are doing within the wrestling business and outside of it. I think y'all opened up a whole new lane.
We appreciate it, too, man. We try to keep that in the forefront of our mind. You know, we take a lot of pride on having our finger on, like, the pulse of pop culture
Hard to do.
So, between mainly with Woods and E, because they're on social media and everything a lot more than I am, you know.
Right.
They tell me what's popping. You know what I'm saying?
That's his job.
You know?
He always sends me the links. I'm like, you heard about what happened? What's the name? I'm like, no. Like, they got the link.
This happened on whatever. And did you hear about this? You want to say something about it in the promo? I'm like, sure. Okay, I'll say it. And then, you know, of course, we go on social media and it always pops off. So, you know, but it's all good, man.
Yes, sir. Yeah. All right. So how's everybody been? What's going on, Swole? Swole got a new house.
Oh, yes, new house.
Praise the Lord.
Okay.
Yes. Closing on our first house in 3 days.
Wow.
Yeah, so Thursday. Yeah, cannot wait.
That's a big deal.
Right? Adulthood.
That's officially adulthood. Right?
Right? Yeah. I want to thank the Lord, and I want to thank the Air Force.
Hey. What's been going on, TZ? I've been getting this man cardio back, bro. We just played some basketball earlier.
Oh, really?
Hooping, man.
Oh, yeah.
Hooping, right, man.
With these young kids,
bro,
too.
They said the jumper, the last thing to go, and it's still there, baby.
Okay.
So, you
still got it.
I still got it. Okay. It's just that athleticism got to catch back up. But once I get there, I'll be all right. But, we just came from hooping.
Wow.
Had some fun doing that, getting the cardio out. currently doing features. I got a lot of features. We're going to talk about someone that you know very dearly pretty soon. That person, I'm not going to say his name.
Okay.
But you know, he's a rapper and you're titled.
Dope.
And, you know, just been working, man. We got a lot of content coming. There's a lot of content that we're putting out from Humble Beginnings. Me and Swerve's album's now out on all digital markets as well. If you guys haven't copped that, make sure you guys cop that album. It is a classic masterpiece. And I hope you guys are enjoying that. So that's it with my life, man.
Okay.
Man, and before we go any further, we always, I got to show love to Around Seattle, our sponsor for the podcast. If it wasn't for him, we wouldn't have the lights that we have. We wouldn't have the microphones. We wouldn't have the curtains, the banner. We all owe this all to you, Around Seattle. And he helped out with the studio over there, the equipment. He just sent in that foam and the silence pads over there. So, man, shout out Around Seattle. You're doing your thing. Appreciate the love, and you keep going. Keep showing us more and more. We don't deserve you.
You got the hookup.
Maybe not me, but moving on. All right. To the legend himself, Mr. Kofi Kingston. What's been going on, man?
I mean, you know, just living. You know, living like everybody else. I've been saying this in a lot of different interviews and whatnot that we've had, or that I've had anyway. You know, it's something where, like, we are in these, like, the quote is, these dire times or these trying times and whatnot. There's obviously, like, a lot of uncertainty going on in the world today. But the glass half full scenario for me is that I've gotten to spend so much, like, quality and quantity time. You guys ever watch Hey Arnold?
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? And Helga's dad. Yeah. Do you remember that episode, Quantity Time?
Quantity time.
Sorry, I joke about that. But I've gotten to spend quality and quantity time with my family, and it's been awesome, you know? Just playing, like, checkers and chess with my oldest son. My youngest son finally starting to get it, too. You know, he just turned 4. They both had birthdays a week and a half ago. I got to be home for both of them, you know
nice.
What I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, like, for me, it's, you know, things are going to go back to normal at some point in time. But for right now, again, like just in a state of trying to stay positive, being able to spend time with my family, with my wife, we haven't spent this much time together. You know what I'm saying? And she still likes me.
It's almost like learning a new person all over again.
Yeah. So it's been great. It's been great all around, you know. And we just go out and we try to do what we do, you know, and try to keep it moving one day at a time.
Man, I want to go into the influence you have on not just the wrestling industry, but like the WWE universe, man. Like, so I was like thinking about this earlier. I'm like, yo, you know what's funny? You know you've like made your mark in the industry when you become an archetype for people to follow. You know what I mean? I love the word archetype because I play some NBA 2K. Archetype is a big deal to me. So, but saying like, yo, I want to carve my career like a Kofi Kingston, like a Brock Lesnar. Like, you become one of those archetypes. And if it wasn't for you and everything that you've done in your career, the past, like, what, going on almost 20 years now?
Ooh, career now? Oh, geez. On TV, I think a little over 12 total.
Yeah.
Not much longer than that. Is it almost 20? No. Maybe close to 15.
15?
Close to 15.
Don't put yourself way up there.
I was about to say.
I knew that.
It feels like, see, I've been
time just
seen
flows.
Since I was a freaking adolescent, before that, pre-adolescent. Yeah. So it feels like that so much more. But, like, talk about, like, being an archetype. It feels like you carved a path for, like, guys like myself, guys like Cedric Alexander, guys like Apollo Crews to, like, fill that Kofi Kingston, boom, that archetype. And, like, you want to... I feel like that's a goal that everybody wants to become.
About to say, I see what you did there with the
yeah,
you know what I'm saying? You put two more of them in there, we start talking to that content.
Oh, oh,
you
know what I'm
saying? You know,
who is this man? Who is this man? Security?
I know this. Too much.
Man, but I appreciate you saying that, man.
Yeah.
I hope I don't get like too emotional in this interview here.
Man,
because I already kind of start feeling, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
but,
feel it.
It's a huge sense of pride. Obviously, to be the first African-born champion, it's crazy that WrestleMania happened over a year ago, you know?
Yeah.
Because I get tweets and messages every single day about people talking about how they were impacted positively by that moment. And I remember that day, and I've said it again like a bunch of different interviews, so forgive me if I sound like a broken record, but so many people were so emotionally affected, man. Like, I saw people jump as you know, as soon as I ended up winning, a whole bunch of people were jumping up and down and hugging each other, hugging strangers, you know, grown men in bars crying, you know what I'm saying? Bro, and you had little kids
doing the same thing.
Bro, it's crazy. Yeah. It's crazy, the love that that came from that moment. And then obviously with, you know, Woods and E, like, without them, none of this happens at all. You know what I'm saying? So the journey that we've been on, and it was me that was holding the championship title, but that image right there is, it, like, we talked about that. You know, you talk about affirmation and just envisioning something happening. You know, Woods would go in interviews all the time and talk about, oh, you know, my only goal is to see Kofi Kingston as WWE champion.
That's power.
You know, kind of laugh it off, but then all of a sudden Ali gets hurt, you know what I mean? And then I'm called upon to fill this role. We go into these gauntlet matches, and then all of a sudden, like, the people start thinking, like, oh my gosh, like, you know, this is close. It's almost, it's going to happen, you know? So eventually it did, you know, and I'll never forget the in Houston at the Elimination Chamber when people, you know, it was up to me and Brian, last two. I just eliminated Randy Orton, and the crowd is just going nuts, you know, and I never felt that kind of love from a crowd before. You know, it was just, you know, you, like, it's so hard to describe because it's something that you, like, you feel in this industry where it's supposed to be entertainment, right? Mm-hmm. How is it that we impact people in such a meaningful way? You know, you, like, strive to have those moments, and I'm just grateful that that I was able to have a moment mm-hmm. like that. And then there were so many just, like, serendipitous, like, moments that led up to this moment, you know. So for me to have to, like, fight for 11 years, if I were to come in the first day and win the WWE title, awesome, cool, not nearly as motivating, you know what I'm saying?
As those dips
to,
and those highs,
yeah,
and barriers
high
and to go
and,
through.
Yeah,
absolutely. That builds this. That builds
yeah,
that.
Yeah, man. Mm-hmm. And that was all part of the story. And I didn't realize until, like, those gauntlet matches in the Elimination Chamber as well, like, that everybody who has been watching for the past decade has been coming along with that story, you know, and not just people of color, but also, like, everybody who has struggled. I think that's why, mm-hmm. that's the key that, you know, that enabled everybody to get behind this story, because it was very real, you know. It wasn't like someone came up to me and said, hey, you know, in 11 years, we're going to pay this off. We're not going to let you sneak the title for a decade. And then on the 11th year, we're going to come through and let you have that. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can't write this. You know what I'm saying? And again, like, if Ali doesn't get hurt, this moment doesn't happen. If Woods and E don't approach me about being in the New Day, this moment doesn't happen. You know, being able to, like, share that moment with my kids in the ring, we sacrificed so much. My wife in the ring, too. Like, they have sacrificed so much for me to be here, for me to do this. You know what I'm saying? And for them to be in the midst of 85,000 people cheering and to feel that energy, man, at such a young age, like, I hope that they understand, like, what the sacrifices were all about and what they were all for. Like, this picture means so, like, you know, my oldest son, you saw him in there. He just ran right up to the second rope, starts throwing out t-shirts, and, like, you just feel that energy, man. He just, you know, so again, if this happens, you know, 11 years ago, like, they don't get to experience this moment, you know? So it just doesn't, you know, being born in Ghana, this year, like, 2019 was the year that the president declared as the year of return. Mm-hmm. He encouraged all members of the Ghanaian diaspora to come back to the motherland and get reacclimated with the land. How is it that this, of all years, is the year that I become, that all this stuff happens? You know what I'm saying?
It, like, culminates, man.
It's crazy. And then getting to take the title back to Ghana and share and show kids everywhere that the most prestigious title in the history of wrestling has a very Ghanaian name on it. Kofi in Ghana is like Mike or Ja, you know, like, really just popular. It was so empowering for me to be at the center of all of that. It's just, it's humbling, and I take a lot of pride in being the guy that can, you know, motivate people to go out and do anything and, you know, hang in there, you know what I'm saying? Like, keep fighting no matter what, because anybody who has struggled, like, knows that there are highs and lows, like you said, mm-hmm. you know? And you just have to fight through them with the hope that, you know, there's my mom right there, too, you know? And that's me with the president of Ghana.
That's incredible.
And,
that's what's up, man.
You know, so just the way that everything laid out, even, like, I hadn't been back to Ghana in 26 years. And my mom had wanted me to go back. And, you know, being on the road as a WWE superstar, you don't get the chance to just, I'm going to take a vacation, I'm going to go to Ghana. You don't do that. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're fortunate to be booked, week in, week out, and it's a gift and a curse because you do spend a lot of time away from home, but this is your dream, and this is what you want to do. Like, you want to be booked. A lot of times, if you're not booked, like, it's not for a good reason. You're either hurt or you're not being used. So I've been real fortunate to have been booked for the past decade. So they were shooting the documentary, The 24, and I asked the dude, and I was like, hey, it would be really cool if I took the championship title back to Ghana. Like, you know, like, yeah, we're all about it. And they came, brought the whole film crew, we documented all of this. And I hadn't seen my grandmother in probably about 25 years, 20, you know what I'm saying? So I got to go back. Originally, we were going to go back in August, and then we pushed it up to June. We went back, had this. It was 4 days, but it felt like just the love I felt. Like, we just nonstop. I felt energized the whole time. Everyone was just love the whole way. And got to see my grandmother, you know. Within, I think, 3 weeks after I left, she passed away. So,
I'm sorry
if
for that.
You know, it is as, like, sad as it is. If I decided to go in August as opposed to June, we would have just missed each other.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? So, like, and this all happened. It's just so serendipitous on, like, so many different levels. So, it's crazy.
Oh,
it's crazy. It's crazy. So long-winded. You know what I'm saying?
No,
but,
no,
you know,
please. You take all your time, man.
Yeah.
We got so much more to get into.
Yeah.
But right now, we're going to have to cut the feed on this Instagram live, man. The only way you're going to finish and see the rest of this podcast, this great interview with Mr. Kofi Kingston right here, is if you subscribe to the youtube.com/SwerveCityPodcast, it'll be posted by next week. But we'll be dropping some nice little gems between. The chit trap that we did with Damian Priest just dropped today on YouTube. Go check that out.
Okay.
And the episode with Austin Theory has dropped. Episode 23. Episode Jordan.
Jordan.
Episode Jordan. YouTube.com/SwerveCityPodcast. Check it out. Boom.
Cutting it off.
Wow.
Yeah.
Peace.
You only get a piece of that love.
Macho Man said, just a piece.
Man.
All right. So I'm gonna tell my story. Listen.
Come on.
So when your match started going on, now we was in the back and catering. Being all nice and prim and proper like we do on every WrestleMania.
I was in the street.
I was in the street. I had a ticket.
I was getting a ticket.
Nice Christian wife in the back with Tasha Steeles and Faye Jackson.
Okay.
We was just sitting there.
How they get in there but not me?
Listen, this ain't about you. This ain't okay. So your match is about to start. And Seth goes, all right, I'll see you later, babe. I'm like, but where you going? The match is about to happen. And he was like, I'm finna go watch it out there. And I was like, we finna go
watch. Well, come on then. Right, let's go.
He's like, well, okay, well, if you gonna come on. In front of Jazz, in front of all of them, I took my heels off in the middle of catering, and we ran to where the fans were right in front of hard cam, and like people were like trying to ask for autographs and stuff. He's like, well, this ain't about us. This is about what's going on right here.
We need to channel our energy.
You talk about somebody out there just with no shoes on, just out there. Britney Spears circling like 2009, just screaming.
Yeah.
Man, we were so proud. We were so happy. We were like, yeah, so happy you won. But also, we was like, that after party finna be lit.
The before party was litty.
Before
Wale Mania, man.
That was when I first met you. Yeah, right. Wale Mania was crazy, man.
I was sitting there with my grandmother watching it, right? And we're in the stands. We're watching the whole match happen. And when you won, she sat back. She said, "I didn't think I was ever gonna live to see this."
Wow.
You know what I mean? My grandmother said, she's like, "I don't think I was ever gonna live to see this happen."
Wow.
She's like, watching wrestling all these years and finally seeing this happen. She was so happy. Oh my God, man! It was just, it's a feeling where it's just, you know, it's so rare that when it happens. For something, the world just stopped and everybody came together.
Yep.
Yeah.
Everybody stopped arguing. Stopped. Nobody was fighting.
Nobody was bickering. Yeah. For the first time, everybody on social media got along.
Nobody was critiquing.
Nobody was critiquing nothing.
Yep.
There was no four out of ten.
Took a little more time in the entrance. Yeah.
Huh? Right. Right.
Everybody was
crazy.
Communionized. Yeah. So now we're going to get past this. I mean, this is.
I know. Mm.
don't want to leave this moment.
That's
right
the
here.
One, that's the one, man.
Yeah, we don't want to leave
that's
that.
Crazy.
But now we're going to talk about the mentor, the leader, the locker room leader that Kofi Kingston is now. Do you feel, what do you see in the locker room now with the young guys? There's a lot of young talent coming
up the
locker rooms right now.
It's really exciting, man. Mainly, so especially like, you know, so 205 Live to me is like the best kept secret. You know what I'm saying? Bro. Like,
facts.
Y'all are so talented. Like, and every match, like, everything is so crisp and people are doing things that I'm like, man, I'm glad I didn't come in right now because I can't do any of that.
Bro,
you know what I'm saying?
Like, I'm starting to slip and not be able to do it anymore. Like,
but it's crazy, man. It's exciting, though. It really is exciting. Again, like, I try to, so I remember, like, back in my day, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, a lot of times, like, the higher-ups would get mad if, like, you didn't come to them and ask them for advice about your, it'd be like something like you're mad about it, you know? And for me, it's like, I don't mind if you want my advice or not. Like, it's cool because everyone's entitled to, like, you know, getting on to or having their own journey and making their own mistake. That's how you learn. That's how you get better. If you go out and you do what I want you to do, like, you're not getting better. You're a puppeteer. You know what I'm saying? You're a puppet. I'm just the one that's pulling the strings. You know what I mean? So I'm always there, you know what I'm saying, for people to come to me and ask me for my advice and my experience. And I'm more than happy to give it. You know what I'm saying? But a lot of people, like, these days have a lot more experience, whether it be on the independents or wherever in other places that are not to be named. You know what I'm saying? Hey. But, you know, it's like... it's like...
They don't know yet. They don't know yet.
But it's all, you know, people are very, like... well-traveled, you know, and you have a lot of experience before you even step into a WWE ring. Now, granted, like, WWE is different than anything else, and a lot of times, like, the experience level kind of resets as you have to relearn, like, I guess the style or, like, just the system, you know, and it's different from person to person, you know what I'm saying?
Very
like, there are people who come in and, you know, you get the rocket, and it's like, we want you to do this, and there are other people who come in, they have to grind and grind and grind and grind and find a way, you know, the door is closed, and they have to find a way to get into the window, but the window's locked, so they try to climb through the chimney and come down, and, you know, they try to go dig a hole underneath the foundation and come through, you have to find a way, you know, so.
Yeah, TJ, he always talks about that, like, he's like, some guys are just... They get that path right there, but sometimes we got to be the ones that, like, we got to low crawl a little bit.
Right.
We got to go through the little dirt a little bit more.
You got to just grab that hard hat, grab your lunch, and just put in 8 hours and clock out for 30 minutes for lunch. Some people just have to do that.
Is there
Right.
Is there, like, a fulfillment, like, with you being an elder statesman, you know, you being around such a long time, do you get a fulfillment of someone that you might have seen that you helped come up that is, like, just fulfilling as you winning the title yourself? Somebody you've seen that you're helping mentoring that is coming up and you're, like, watching their success. And you're like, well, okay, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And a funny story is, Xavier, we were in Deep South in developmental, you know what I'm saying? And I remember I think I was, like, actually in the ring. All of a sudden, the door swings open. Everyone stops. Crickets. Who came in this? You know, who dares to come in this house? Xavier Woods, eyes wide open, dressed up in a suit, you know, has his resume. I'm like, well, what's this guy doing here with a resume? But if you're going to a job, you're supposed to have your resume. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that's like the backwards, like, culture. But he comes in, you know, hands his resume in, has, like, a wrestling tape. The next day, Deep South closes down. You know what I'm saying? Like, literally the very next day, Deep South closes down. We open back up in Tampa a couple months later. And, you know, a few weeks after that, door swings open again, stops, come through Xavier Woods. I'm like, wow, this dude, he got a suit on again, resume again, you know? So comes in, you talk about, like, grinding, and he's making these drives all the way from Atlanta, you know what I'm saying? So it was awesome when I saw that he finally got hired because, granted, I wasn't, like, a huge part of his journey, but I was there when he came in. Like, I saw the grind, you know? And then now, just seeing how, like, how amazing of a mind he has for the business, you know, very underrated, incredibly underrated. For a long time, people thought, oh, he's just the guy that plays on the trombone on the outside. No, like, number one, like, he's been around the way. And actually, me and E joke about it. Woods is kind of the veteran of our team because he's been wrestling the longest, you know?
Yeah.
So everyone thinks it's me because I've been on TV for a little bit longer or with us. But no, Woods has been, like, grinding for a very, very long time. So, it's a lot of people when you see that determination, you know, you can't help but become fired up. You know what I'm saying? And I'm always about, like pushing people and helping them in any way that I can to get up to as high a level as they can get up to, you know, as opposed to like, whoa, this guy might take my spot. Let me see how I can hinder him. And, but, you know, what? I don't know. I never understood that. I never understood that, because if you're confident enough in your skills, you shouldn't be worried about anybody else. You know, all you can do is go out and do as best as you can, you know, put forth the best matches that you can, just do as well as you can. That's all that you have control over.
But
you know?
Talking about your story, like, you just explained it in your story, the whole climb. You never did it on your own. You never had, it wasn't just you. You had, like, Xavier, Big E. You had the setbacks. You had the push forwards, the catapult forwards. You had your family. You had the, like, all that support system. If that falls apart, any part of that, you don't get to where you're going.
Exactly.
And we have to keep that same mindset for everything we do. Yeah. Like, without that, like, dude, 11 years for me and two little girls, but managing military and jobs and quitting school and job to support the indie dream. If I didn't have my mom, my sister, the two mothers of my kids that were still like, hey, we got you. Don't have to worry about the girls. They're always going to be all right. Mm-hmm. That eases your mind to focus it on everything that you need to do to keep going forward.
Yeah.
So any of the, like, everybody needs to support and, like, truly help uplift the grinding man that's doing that, man.
Right.
Because, like, that's, without any of that, one of those pieces fall apart. The dream doesn't come true.
And then from like a bigger picture perspective, the business will suffer if everyone's just trying to hold everybody down.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you're really passionate about the business and you want the business to actually excel, then you have to do your part in pushing not only yourself, but pushing everybody to become the best and become as good as they can become, because that's going to make you want to become better. If you're on the roster, you want to, you know what I'm saying? Like, you want to be the best. You see somebody that's, you know, doing things in a certain way and getting a certain reaction. You think, man, I want that. But you work as hard as you can to get that, not work to figure out a way to pull that person down. That doesn't make sense.
Take that away.
You know? You know what I'm saying? Like, everything, everybody just uplifts everybody, you know, and I think that's just best for business. I think that's best for karma, you know what I'm saying? For yourself, for your soul, and just life,
Man. Last night, man, Money in the Bank, by the time y'all watch this, it'll be a week later, but as of now, last night, Money in the Bank, man, y'all keep showing how versatile you are with the tag teams. Even like, It's just crazy, like, seeing, like, we were just talking about, like, all the people you teamed with over the years, between Punk, between Seidel, we got R-Truth, and you just always find a way. Like, how important is tag team wrestling for you, man? Like, I know we see it, how important it is, but, like, to you deep inside, how important is that to just have that other partner, changing the game still?
Yeah, it's important in a lot of ways, and that's a really good question. A lot of people don't ask that question. I think, you need people, like we were talking about, to uplift you, and especially with, like, you know, particularly with, like, Woods and E, like, we went through so much ups and downs, you know. We had a vision of what we wanted to be. That idea got rejected, you know. We had to come back and come through with something else. We went back into Vince's office, tweaked whatever he wanted to have us do, you know. This was the process of about like 5 to 6 months, you know. Every week going into his office and presenting something, and then shooting stuff on our own, and then, you know, taking that, you know, Woods would, you know, compile it up and give it to Vince, and then he'd see it and be like, well, we want you to do this. And so then we just had to keep on tweaking. And then the end result was us being preachers, which was not at all what we wanted to do. But that was the opportunity that we had. You know what I'm saying? So if I didn't have those guys, like, the, you know, you need to have somebody to get you through the ups and downs, because it can be, number one, a lonely business. It can be a lot of trials and tribulations. And, you know, it helps a lot to have people to lift you up. And in terms of, like, so again, like Punk too, like, one of the guys in the industry who I would consider to be like my brother, you know, helped me out when he didn't need to help me out. Like, that was, again, like a point in time where, like, people were more about keeping other people down and worried about their spots being taken. And I remember about to go out for my debut, I'm sitting there doing like push-ups, you know, and I see a set of wrestling shoes at my head or whatever. So I look up, and there's Punk, and he's like, oh, you know, you just remember they're out here to see you. And I'm like, okay. And that kind of eased my nerves going out there. You know what I mean? But he didn't have to say that to me, you know? And then we become tag team champions together. And I learned so much, you know, because at the time he was WWE champion. And a lot of the, like, the gripes and everything that you have, like, on the undercard, sometimes you have on the top, you know? And I'm just like, oh, man, like, he's going through a lot of the same stuff that I am going through now. And then, you know, fast forward to, like, being WWE champion, I was already prepared to go through whatever it is that I needed to go through. You know what I'm saying? And how I was prepared to have to fight. You're not given anything just because you have the title. You still have to fight for what you want. You know, with R-Truth, always laughs. You know, I had so my God, like so much fun, just so much every like the whole little Jimmy thing, man. Like,
yeah.
And then having to like figure out because a lot of times I never knew what he was gonna do. You know, and then you just have to play off of like this energy. And then like that you can see the people getting into this imaginary boy. I think he's a boy. I don't know. I never saw him. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. I assumed he was a boy. I don't know. But it was just so much fun just being able to like to cut out because up to that point.
Good days.
Yeah. I was a fairly not necessarily like serious wrestler, but I didn't really have like a playful side, even though I was playing like a Jamaican character before. It was more like go out and fight, you know, oh, I'm going to get beat down. Well, I'm going to fight and come back up. It wasn't anything that was like personality driven. Mm-hmm. So I was able to like capitalize on that with Truth, with Evan. It was like to see somebody who was so athletic up close. You know, was like, golly, and then so innovative too, you know, and he's a guy who's been around the way. So like, yep. I learned a lot just being in that team, in that tag team, in terms of like putting matches together and doing things that were exciting and like learning like where to put things. And oftentimes we'd be trying to outdo each other. You know, I'm seeing him do something cool. I'm like, well, I can do something like that too, you know, so but it worked. And for a team that was just thrown together, you know, it worked out. It worked out as like two athletic dudes who were just. Yeah, shout there
out.
They are.
Shout out
yeah.
Sidell.
Yeah, man. But every partner that I've had, I've learned so much from, and I just think I'm so like fortunate to have come across these guys, and then also being able to like learn from them because again, every piece of the puzzle means something. I would not be the performer that I am today if I didn't come into contact with all the people who I've met along the way. You know,
they're all shaping you to make.
Yeah, yeah, for
that's
sure.
What it seems like the industry is. It's like it seems like the industry is like I'd say the percentages. The way I was like taught in music, it's like 70% give, 30% take. Yeah. And it's like you're naturally going to give more than you're able to take. If you think about some of the like the greatest music or the greatest movies that's been written, a lot of the directors gave up a lot of their best films to other directors because they knew they could make it better. Mm-hmm. Or even like a musician, there's so many classic songs that an R&B singer would give to another R&B star, and that song that they gave up, which was their baby, they gave to someone else.
Right.
Dolly Parton.
Right.
Yeah. And it would, Jolene and I will right. always love you in one day.
Wow. Absolutely. So he's like what you said, like you hired me with wrestling, like teaming up with people, yeah. learning what to, you know, how to be unselfish, put other people on, give other people yeah. advice, stuff like that. So that's what I relate that to and what
yeah,
you're saying.
Yeah, for sure.
Since you're on the road, bro, you might as well take the easy table.
First thing I wanted to bring up, man, I'd be wrong, and I told him I was going to do this, and this is my brother, the person I told you I was going to bring up earlier, yeah. my big bro, Megaran.
Hey!
My big bro.
Yeah.
The guy who, when he started doing wrestling music, I came after him. So okay. I'm paying homage to Big Homie, and just seeing his climb, and I remember a few years ago when you guys first linked up with him, I know him and Woods was tight and got y'all
yeah,
all together.
Exactly.
I was so proud of him. I was texting him like, bro, you are really setting like ground with what you're doing. You know, tell me a little bit about your relationship with Megaran because he was on this he was on this podcast as well.
Right, yeah. He's one of the coolest dudes I've ever met, man. Just real nice. And actually, like my little brother like dabbles in music up north, you know, and he met Megaran like a while ago. And Megaran was like real cool with my brother, you know what I'm saying? So I always appreciate that, man. I feel like he is so humble. But so talented, you know, lyrically, you know, his ability to like. So when we had the rap battle with the Usos, which could have potentially been a train wreck, you know, we actually
that
had fire, bruh, and Megaran, you know, like helped us kind of connect a lot of the dots that we wanted to connect, you know, from a lyrical perspective, because we are not rappers, you know, and I learned that. through doing this, you know, rap battle and some other things. But yeah, he was instrumental in that sense, you know, and just kind of like, you know, kind of giving suggestions and he realistically, I would listen to anything that he said because of what he's accomplished. But the way in which he like just like delegated the or made suggestions to what we, you know, it was in a very just like suggestive way and not like overbearing and like, you know what I'm saying? Like, this is what you need to do. He's earned that right. You know what I'm saying? To tell us what, because he's been successful in his rap and in musical career. But the way in which he did it was just, I appreciated that, you know? So yeah, I think, you know, and we hung out with Ren in Vegas a couple times too, you know? So yeah, just a real, real cool dude. And yeah, so we had told this story on our podcast. So for WrestleMania a couple years ago, we were trying to get like a different theme music for me to come out to, you know? So it was like an ode to like, you know, a little bit of SOS in there, but then it also had like, you know, African drums in there, and Wale was on it rapping, and you know, Megaran came up with the beat and everything, and his friend too. So it was fire. And then at the end of the day, they didn't want to use it, you know? So it's one of those things where like one day we go release the song and let everyone know like what we wanted to do, you know? But it's, yeah. But again, like even working with him in that sense was, it was just seamless. You know, there's a lot of people that we come across and they just fit right into our process. You know, Michael Mosley, another one of Woods' friends who does all of our entrance like gear, you know, Robert Adams who does like our ring gear, you know what I'm saying? Jonathan Davenport who does all like our designs for the gear and everything. These guys, they just fit right in. There's never any like butting of heads, yep. You know, and you know what I'm saying? Yeah. And it just feels good to have like one of the things I love about wrestling is the creative process, whether it be coming up with a match, coming up with a freestyle battle, you know, or whatever it may be, coming up with a gear design, and all of us are just clicking on all cylinders and people are making suggestions. And then we're, you know, taking a little bit off their suggestions and say, how about we tweak it like this? And by the time the finished product comes in, it's like the whole team of chefs done cooked a real good meal, you know, and everybody's going to enjoy it. So it's one of those things where like, you know, again, Megaran just fits right into what we do, same mentality and everything. So I can't speak.
This is like that podcast team. I'm just saying, everybody, man.
It's that's amazing, man. So shout out to him. And that's kind of like the thing when me and him started working on music. Kind of like how you said, like you don't want to be overbearing to someone that's trying to creatively do something that fits them. You know, because it's not going to help him for me to be like, oh, do it this way. Do it. It's not going to help.
Yeah.
You know, it's better for him to chef it. And me be like, oh, okay, I see where you're going.
Right.
And that helps his creative process.
Yeah.
As opposed to you trying to be like, do it this way.
Yeah, right.
You know, because it's not going to work. Yeah. So tell me a little bit, who are some of your favorite musicians? What are some of your favorite albums?
Oh, man. True. You know, I'm really into like Common Kings right now. Mm. Have you heard of them? So like, they're like kind of like a like reggae-ish band from California. And I saw them actually, they got a lot of Usas in there, you know what I'm saying? And
okay.
Yeah, so I actually was at home and there was a concert. My wife is really into like Michael Franti. My kids actually like Michael Franti's music too.
Okay.
And I ended up meeting him that night too. But anyway, we went to a concert in Austin and Common Kings were opening up. It was Michael Franti and there they go.
Indeed.
Yeah. And they're big wrestling fans too. So the way that it turned out was like they were actually, I think we had a show in Memphis either the night before or 2 days before, and they were in Memphis the day before, so they went to our show, and then I happened to be at their show. So, you know, I'm hearing their music, and they had done, like, some, like, collab with Marvel, like, for their intro. So they're playing, like, their music, and then all of a sudden I hear, like, you know, oh, the X-Men song. Oh, they put...
Ooh.
I was like, oh, who is this, you know? And then they recognized me, brought my family and everything back, and everyone was so cool. You know, we took pictures and everything, and, you know, we've kept in contact ever since, and I'm just a big fan of their music right now. So, yeah, Common Kings is my stuff, too. You know, Michael Franti, again, another guy who's all about positivity, you know, and sings a lot of, you know, just, like, spiritual slash like with an island type vibe, you know, plays guitar and everything. But he's a positive dude too. And like I said, we met him that night and then again ended up staying in touch. So those are the guys right now. I mean, you know, a little Roddy Ricch. You know what I'm saying? Ooh, I still can't stop listening to The Box.
Yeah,
you know, yeah. I put it on repeat. You
what
know
a creative
what I mean?
Song,
so,
dude.
Yeah,
God, that's also you know? Creative.
Golly.
Just be in the house going.
Yeah.
That young man is the wave right now, boy.
It doesn't have to be the song. You just hear something in the house make yeah, that noise. Yeah, and you're
yeah.
like, ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh. Yeah.
So yeah,
that boy, I can't wait to hear more music from him.
Yeah.
He's going to have his catalog is going to grow. How old is he actually, by the way?
Well, he's like 22, 23?
Yeah,
let's fact check that, but I know he's in his early 20s.
Okay. I'm looking forward to seeing where he goes from here on out. Cause like I'm a Tyler fan.
He's
21.
Okay,
21.
Yeah, I knew he won.
Oh my God,
he ain't even hit his peak yet.
That's crazy.
Lord.
That's so crazy to me. That's so crazy to me.
So like, yeah. So like, I'm seeing his 10-year process to where he's at now. It's like, oh man, his music grew like incredibly. So he's someone else. I want to see like 3, 4, 5 years from now what that music, what that content's looking like, and where the growth is.
You guys ever hear of Mr. Hotspot?
No.
No.
So man, I don't even know. So this was a dude that was on.
Find the mic.
Yeah. It was on Snoop's Oracle. Instagram, and he does a lot of like comedy on his Instagram page.
Oh,
but
he's hysterical.
He, my God, like he has some song like something about smiling and everything. So that's another song I can't, you know. But look up Mr. Hotspot. You'll see what I'm talking about. But he's hilarious too, you know. So it's a lot of people, and then I like old school, you know. I'm an Outkast fan, like, you know. So that's
some of them IG battles. Don't nobody want that smoke with Outkast.
Nobody.
Oh no, undefeated. Yeah,
you know,
undefeated. So let's take it over to Swole's world.
Yeah,
go ahead, sis. Take it over, man. Take it over, supervisor.
Who said that?
All black mamas. Anyway,
okay. On.
Okay.
Anyway, so look, listen. During this time, everybody's in the house.
Mm-hmm.
Ain't doing nothing.
Stay in the house.
It's right. How's that been for you? I know being on the road. 365, 24.7 is a lot.
25.8.
It is. It's one of those things too, and you know, I mentioned it earlier, like you're fortunate to be booked, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of people who want to be on the road a lot more, and myself included, you know. Well, not that I can be on the road more than I already am, but I see it as a blessing to be on the road as much as I am, and to have been on the road consistently again for the past decade or so. So having this time off, it's awesome. It's just awesome in every way possible, just because, like I said, that quantity time, you know, spending that quantity time with the fam and everything.
And then with that Martin Lawrence Bad Boy One, quality time.
Yeah.
Quality time.
Nobody told you it was going to equal distance learning.
Like, right.
Which has been...
Yeah.
You know, you got struggling what, like...
we actually already homeschool. So us, and by we, I mean my wife.
Right,
you know what I'm saying?
I
go out. I play checkers with the boys. You know what I'm saying? Like us, I play some chess.
Like daddy, we just learned arithmetic today.
Yeah,
we don't want no
king
checkers.
Me, son.
Yeah,
king me, son.
All you,
arithmetic.
All
king
you,
me, son.
You say arithmetic right here is that place that you beep.
Yeah. On the game.
Well,
I took your memory
card. Yeah, man.
What?
So, mom, what you took?
Hard drive. I took the whole thing out. You got one gig. Use it wisely.
Yeah, man. So, but it's been good. It's been good. Like I said, things will go back to normal, and we'll be back in the swing of things, and we won't be able to spend as much time. But for now, we just try to enjoy it. You know, try to enjoy it. Got a home gym coming in. You know what I'm saying?
Getting,
so
getting your swole.
Yay! So you see what you did? Hey, hold on a second. Hold on a second. Don't scare him away now.
Yeah,
you know?
Come on now. Don't get the show canceled now. Easy. Jesus.
Reel him back.
Yeah.
I can say something.
Yeah. Yeah, we were talking about it earlier, though, about there being like a crazy shortage in like gym equipment right now, because everybody's trying to make home gyms right now. So, I was in the same boat trying to get stuff, but now stuff is finally coming in. I picked up some horse stall mats, you know what I'm saying, for the gym floor in the garage. I've been meaning to clean out my garage. Yeah, they're about 3/4 of an inch, you know what I'm saying? So I've been trying to clean out my garage for about almost 10 years. So we lived in Tampa for about a decade. The stuff piled up. Moved to California for about 8 months. Brought the stuff with us. Then moved to Austin, Texas. Brought the stuff with us again. We said we had two garages, so I put, you know, I just split them. It's like, oh, okay, the garage is clean now. It's not, you know? So it's not. Yeah.
Wait, yeah. There's only one garage. Now yeah. It's two, but both of them.
It's stuff. Fun. Just stuff everywhere.
It's funny with these home workouts, man. Yeah. Like, I'm trying to find things that are heavy in the house. Nothing heavy enough anymore. Yeah. But when I moved in here, everything was the heaviest thing in the world. Yeah. How'd everything get lighter all of a sudden? And when I got to move eventually, it's going to be the heaviest thing again. No, I find that funny.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, gravity. Man.
None, just resistance bands.
That's resistance bands workouts, and it's cool. You know, it's been good, but I need to switch it up. So my stuff is coming in. You know, as a matter of fact, when I came on the road, my first barbell came in from Rogue, so I had to put it in the garage and drive away, just eyeing it in the rear view mirror. It's like, I'll be back. Don't you worry, I'll be back for you with more weights. So
I will pick
you
up, sweetheart. Yeah.
I'll pick you up graciously.
Yeah,
so what,
man,
about that thumb workout? What you been on? Mm. Sticks feeling like?
It's funny. So I don't really play games at home. Yeah, it's sad. It's really sad.
So you be dusting them dudes on the road when you're just chilling?
The only time I play is on the road.
I witnessed.
I mean, it depends on the game. Now it depends on the game, but I try to.
Okay, what game would you play at home?
So, Mortal Kombat right now. Actually, bro,
come on. That's my all-time favorite game.
Come on.
Listen, we're gonna get more into this today, and I was like, I feel like since telling this. Look.
Yeah.
You
start screaming.
One thing I picked up: he's a walk away when the players when some are like, oh, miss pass.
I synced it.
I get emotional.
I get emotional, and
I can't help it. It's for me. It's a release because I, you know, like all of us, I came up on video games, you know. And then when my son was born, I wasn't able to play because there's a lot of things that I should be doing at home, and I can't just play video games, and I should be cleaning the house or doing something else, you know.
No, what was you circa 2013?
What was hot in 2013? Yeah. What was out? What was
in 2013?
Yeah, what was hot?
Ooh.
Yeah.
We don't. That was actually the bad one.
Oh, is that?
Of 2013? Yeah, I think that was the what of 2K.
Your favorite game.
Mine.
Yes, The Last of Us.
Oh, Last of Us.
I thought you were talking about 2K. I have a love hate relationship.
It is love hate. It can't be love hate.
That was 14.
Mm-hmm. No.
Are you sure? I don't know if I like Black Flag.
Black Flag. Sitting at the house.
I don't know if I like it. What are your favorite genres?
Probably fighting games and Madden. That's what it comes
you
down
always
to.
Always circle back
just
to Madden.
Fighting
when
games
I used to
and
work
Madden.
At
you know,
GameStop, do you yeah. look just like them people. You got that Madden.
Yeah.
You got 2K.
Yeah.
You got
GTA 5. Yep. That's it. Every year.
You know we got them.
Every year, no matter what.
What's the best Madden though?
Oh man.
Dion.
Which one?
Yeah. Well, Ray Lewis on the cover?
It could be. I don't know. What was the one with Michael Vick on the cover?
04?
04?
Yep.
I'd say
07. Sean Alexander?
06
was McNabb.
With McNabb.
I know all the covers. Right? Mess with me. Like, clue me. Clue me.
I'm trying to. I don't know. All I know is that when Vic came out, it was just unfair.
That's the most unstoppable
you know?
Video game character.
99 speed with the 99
You could not pick the Falcons if you
I
played
I thought that until Lamar Jackson came out and can human joystick
yeah,
and juke.
Yeah, man.
Shut the game down.
It's nasty. It's nasty. But, you know, we get a lot of reps on the road, you know.
Oh, yeah.
So now it's like, it's funny. So my kids we don't really watch many like screens. We don't have them watch a lot of TV, Netflix, you know. They might.
It's scary
like
now.
Very rarely, if you know, we want to have a movie night. We actually haven't had a movie night in the new house. I don't think so.
Gotta get on that.
Yeah, I don't know, but it's like a situation like because they, you know, I've seen kids like on airplanes where you see with the iPads and they're just like zombied out.
Yeah,
you know? I'm like whoa, like my kids would never, you know, in the airports like they're. And, you know, not they're being kids and wild and just running around, and that's what we love. But sometimes you might not want that situation. So I have not, you know, I don't knock any parents for giving their kids like screens and tablets and whatnot just to calm their kids down and you know, get through whatever situation they're in. But for us, we kind of shy away from it, you know. We might show them videos of like an what my youngest son has been into is like the our entrance that we had. Forget which WrestleMania it was, but out of the Booty-O's box.
Yep.
Yeah.
So we'll let him watch that
said
or whatever.
Booty-O's. You know,
that's right.
O's.
O's. It's a cereal. They make sure you ain't booty. Yeah. FYE and FYE.com, you know, we still like the, we get a cut, you know? So don't be afraid to buy yourself a box.
I bought a box of Booty-O's one time. So,
like, O's. He's saying O's. I swear. Yeah. I promise.
Booty-O's one time. And Dallas. For Dallas.
I promise.
Yeah.
There's a t-shirt in it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right.
Is there somebody that you play though? Like, because we got this. Like, with me, Swerve, a lot of us, we on the video games, and you have certain games you play with the homies, and it just get ultra competitive.
Oh
like,
yeah.
Or that one person. Who's that one person you play with? Like, all the laughing's like, all the jokes are silent.
Yeah,
this
it
dude.
Ain't funny.
I
it ain't
gotta,
fun anymore.
I gotta smoke this dude. Like,
it depends. I feel like we have a good circle of gamers, probably. Me and Woods have had a lot of like competition, like especially on up, down, down. You know, like playing Street Fighter. I think we had like a best of five or best of seven or something like that. And it came down to like the last round. Like I battled back. We've done it with like Injustice and whatnot too. Obviously, you know, Mortal Kombat. I think MK9 before. But yeah, you know, because Woods is he's a gamer like to the core. You know what I'm saying?
He scares me.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was.
And then,
our episode, he was like, "What game you
want to
play?" I was like, "I want to play Streets of Rage.
Play somewhere
I don't have to fight you."
Yeah, yeah.
Like, can we work together?
Yeah,
for a common cause.
Yeah,
can we play Fighting Force. Shoot, help me.
Or we get on the UFC.
Listen,
we playing UFC around
you.
No, I haven't been there for that.
Okay,
that scares me too.
He played UFC with Cedric one time, and Cedric won. He said, "Babe, Kofi was like."
The walk away. He did the walk away.
I got to move away. I got to move around.
I
can't control
it. He's like, he got back on the six. And he won, but he was like,
nah,
run
you
that.
Can't. Yeah.
Back.
Yo, sit down here.
You know what's serious when somebody got to play like this the next round?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's when it's
serious, man. I can't. You got to be in to be like,
man, I'm not a good loser when it comes to video games. I'm not a good loser, and so we used to play UFC all the time, like. One and then two and then E got real good at UFC to the point where like I didn't want to play him anymore. So UFC 3 came out.
It's
I downloaded
like me,
it. I put it on.
Mad and I don't play
oh yeah.
No, he can't. No, he don't want me, man.
I can't.
Yeah, that's the longest we ever went without talking.
No.
To
him.
It's
real.
It passed like
real.
36 hours.
You know,
he
it's
needed
real.
A break.
Man,
my daddy for a couple months because that's the first game he ever let me play.
Oh
Madden,
no.
And that's what I learned on Madden, and then all of a sudden I got better.
Yep.
And then he's like. We went whole summer. He didn't even speak to me. And then when I saw him the next summer, I was like, "All right, Dad, let's play Tony Hawk." And then I dusted. All I did was manuals.
Hey,
what? He looked at you like, "Wait, he didn't play the last one." He's like, "Wait, why is he doing that on the board? Why? What the? How's he moving? He's moving. What?
Handstand manual.
The score's still going up. Wow. What's this reverb?
Switchy foot.
Oh yeah." Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I pulled 2 million point combos.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So you got
I could get the whole board.
Really?
Yeah.
Man,
back in the day.
What a game, huh?
Right.
Start getting mad.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah,
all right,
you got this one.
Yeah. He like stopped. His combo was done. I'm still.
Yeah.
Around him,
you know, you start losing.
All right. The score's already ran up.
He's already done.
Just laying the dang thing already.
Crazy. He can't jump from this building to that building like that.
He transported and he's still going. What?
With all them extra things that you just
God.
Damn, you be fine inside.
Yeah.
Like,
God,
what you
a
have
game,
a special
man.
Grind too? What?
Cool to school. You
get
it.
Oh, man.
The game, man.
What else we got on this thing?
You know what? I want to talk about All Out. I mean, All That.
Yes.
Bruh.
Don't
my God.
Listen,
fulfilled childhood.
The fulfillment of that, I mean, and Wildin' Out, but especially All That.
Yeah, man.
Take a CN. What was that phone call like? Who called you?
You met Kel, right?
We interacted with him like on an intimate level, but we had like a real good scene. And he's just so funny, man. And like the physical comedy and then so cool and like down to earth. I just like I don't know how to say this without sounding like braggadocious or whatever, but there's some moments where I just step back and I'm like, how is this my job? You know, we have this app that has all of our like appearances and, you know, TVs or whatever. And I look in it one day and it's all that. I said, what? Get the call. Hey, we got a non-confirmed appearance for all that. Would you be willing to do it? I said, all that? Like all that? All that? I said, yeah. Of course. Like, why would you even ask me that? Is this a trick? Is this a trick question? And before we know it, we're on the set. And, you know, like doing a scene with Kel. Like, what? Like, what is
Good Burger Kel?
What is going on? You know what I'm saying? And being on like Nickelodeon Studios and just unbelievable, unbelievable. And he was just so cool. I think one of my favorite things is when you like grow up watching somebody and then you finally meet them in real life. And they are as cool as you thought they were. Because it's nothing worse than, like, you meet someone, it's like, man, I wish I never met this guy, man. Yeah. Because now the image is tainted, you know? It was incredible. Also, very similar to, with the movie that came out on Netflix, The Main Event, that myself and a lot of other, you know, WWE, NXT guys were in. Yeah. Yeah. But meeting Tashina Arnold, you know?
Yes. Pam.
Like, Pam. Goosebumps, hey, bro. Like,
you say, oh, we a dirt.
That's my baby.
You know?
Lord, that mercy. Yeah, I'm good. Right. Yeah, I need that. Get that's love.
Now.
That's
love. Off now.
Everybody hates Chris.
and she was just so cool and elegant and amazing and just like her energy was so positive and just like down to earth. And I'm just like, I can't believe that, you know, if I were to go back, 15 years, 20 years or whatever, and tell my younger self that someday this show where this woman is making you laugh, you're going to be on a show with her. You're going to be on a movie set with her. She's going to be like a grandmother who's in love with your character. I'm like, what? Like, the whole thing is just like, you could never, again, like, you could never predict this, you know? And again, just like meeting her was awesome. The entire staff was awesome. You know, Seth Carr right there, the main character, you know, he was awesome. And a lot of these kids, like, they don't seem like kids when they're on the set because they're so just mature and so good at what they do and so natural. And you see their vibe and they're, you know, they're playing around and they come on screen and it's like, it's just such a natural to have that level of talent at such a young age. I just couldn't believe it. The whole cast, you know, it was awesome. It was awesome. Yeah. She was just so, so cool. I can't put her over enough.
Lord, man.
Oh, yeah, I have one in here.
Ooh,
that's how I feel when I be doing them Galaxy Cons.
Yeah.
It's a convention
yeah.
I go to that I play Storm.
Oh, yeah.
The cosplay wrestling.
Right.
And one day I was just sitting having lunch, and then next thing you know, like, the Ultraman. Like, wow. He sat down, and then the David Tennant, Doctor Who, yeah. And Alex Cooper, and we're sitting down, and I was just like... And then Pauly Shore was right there, and I was like, I'm having lunch with the coolest people on the planet. I'm like, what is this like?
Like, what is going on? Like, is the it's a legitimate, like, dream sequence that you would have. Oh, you know, I just had a dream. I had Pauly Shore, you know, and all these people around this round table. We were eating lunch together, and then you wake up. But this is, like, actual stuff that's happening, like,
oh,
you know?
Here?
Crazy. Just so crazy. We met Weird Al at Big Easy Con. Mm. You know? Like, come on, man. Like, eat it. Like, I'm fat. Like,
right.
Weird Al, they were taking a picture. Like, and he hasn't changed. He hasn't aged at all. You know what I'm saying? So it's just, life is so crazy sometimes, you know? And every now and then you have these moments where it's like, oh, this is a goal that I had, but I could never have set because it's so far out of the box where it's like,
right.
I'm not going to set this. Like, it's not possible. You know what I'm saying? And then you're having this roundtable discussion with people.
If you would have told me back in 1997.
Yeah.
That Billy Zane will be flirting with me at it. I lie to you. You lie. Like, all the characters from DBZ.
Yeah. And they're so cool too, aren't they?
They are.
I met them at a Comic-Con. And same thing, Chris.
I didn't even know he was the voice actor for All Might.
All Might,
I was like, until
wait,
I
what?
And I didn't realize.
Vegeta.
Yeah.
Is All Might.
Right. He did one thing. It was a. Yeah.
You got one, but you got two good characters.
Right.
In your
life. Icons. Like, I think there was something on Funimation.com where he was doing like birthday rounds in his All Might voice. I was like, why is he doing and it took me a while to make the connection. I'm like, oh my God.
Wait a minute.
I am here. Yeah, like, that's you.
Just do it with a smile.
Yeah. Yeah, man.
Oh,
man.
So
so crazy. So crazy. Life is crazy.
That startled me, bro.
Hold on. Have you watched My Hero?
Look, you start, it's over. Look.
I went through the three seasons, the four seasons, and like,
yeah.
Yep.
You got to watch it. You got to. I'm trying to slow down. It is. Yeah. Like, you know what? You want it to end.
I got homework to do, bro. Like,
yeah. Bro, I got to put you under so much. We don't have any time. We always working, man.
Come on, man. Yeah.
We always working. We putting this together, the music. Like,
take a break.
Music videos. Like, I'm like, we can just sit down and watch some stuff because I got things.
And watch, like, Parasite.
I haven't seen Parasite yet.
The movie or the show?
Both of them, but not
the movie's great.
Not the movie. I'm talking about the anime show.
Never watch it.
Oh, the show. Yeah, I've seen the movie. The movie's great. Yeah, movie is great. Yeah.
So, into some current events. I'm going to take a step back. I'm going to do something for the viewers, the people that are watching this at home. So, you heard this man's story. You're in here right now. And now you in here. I want y'all to understand that this man has gone through so much, his ups and downs, his trials and tribulations, and he's dreamed beyond what he was set his goals to be. You can do the same too.
Buzz Lightyear.
Do not limit yourself.
Mm-hmm.
The whole point of Swerve City Podcast is about building confidence. Mm-hmm. And we invite all these people, every episode, every guest that has told their story, where they hit their lows, where they struggled, where they didn't believe that they would be somewhere that they are now, and where they're going to be years from now, because they keep pushing forward and they keep pushing through those walls.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you need to do. And if there's something you could, like, the last thing that you could tell the viewers at home, like, as far as, like, inspiration, words of wisdom, confidence, like, man.
Literally just that, you know. There's a lot of people that will tell you that you can't. And it's not all that, you know, it's not always because, like, they don't believe in you. It's because they don't believe in themselves. They can never see themselves doing what it is that you're doing, you know. Coming up, I got involved with amateur wrestling, thinking that it was like WWE wrestling. And I would tell everybody in the school that I was going to be a WWE superstar. I had to gain weight to get to 100 pounds my freshman year to wrestle at 103, you know. And everyone's like, well, you're too small. You know, you're not 6'5". You're not going to, there's no way you could do it. And had I listened to them, I wouldn't be here. You know what I'm saying? So, but I believed in myself and I just kept on pushing no matter what. And I tell people all the time, like, you know, there's a stereotypical path that you're supposed to follow. You're supposed to go to high school, you know, graduate high school, go to college, graduate college, and then start working your way up a corporate ladder in some corporation and then work towards retirement. Cool if that's what you want to do. You know, if people, like, the certainty of that is great. You know what's going to happen tomorrow. You're going to come into your cubicle job. And if you like that, that's great. For me, didn't work. You know, I could have kept on going on that path that was not satisfying, not fulfilling, you know, or do what I chose to do, was roll the dice and give my dream a chance, you know. And I'd say, you know, you hear the term like follow your dreams. To me, it's chase your dreams aggressively. You know what I mean? Like, you want it. You know what I'm saying? If you saw something that you want, you wouldn't just be walking after it. You would be trying to, at least, at the very least, power walk towards it. Sprint. If you really want it, you try to get it, you know? So that's the path that I chose. And all the people that told me that I was too small and all the people that told me that I wasn't going to make it are now asking me for autographs for their children. So, and it's not something where I'm like, well, you see, I told you so, because that's not what it was all about. It was about me wanting to accomplish something that I wanted to do, you know? And if I didn't follow my dreams, if I didn't chase my dreams aggressively, I wouldn't be here. So believe in yourself no matter what. With all the negativity that people are trying to, you know, project onto you, you got to find a way to just, like, tune it out and focus, you know, like, have that laser focus towards what it is that you want to do and just go do it, you know? And the very least, if it doesn't work out, at least you know that you went all out and you tried to get what you wanted, you know, and then you fall back and you can do whatever it is that you were going to do before. But the other flip side of the coin is, if it does work out, it's the best thing in the world. Like, this for me, it's almost criminal to call it work. You know what I'm saying? Like, what? I'm going to work? What? Like, you know what I'm saying?
All the,
like,
people who said wrestling wasn't going to pan out, wrestling wasn't
going to
do nothing. Guess what?
The
checks is clearing.
House. House.
Right.
House.
Like, my bills are current. Like,
roof.
Ahead.
You see it?
like I'm
you
good.
See it? So yeah, just, you know, just, you just have to find a way to believe in yourself, and it's obviously easier said than done. But if you need motivation, look to anybody on a WWE roster. You know, look to anybody here. Look to anybody who has made it. Everybody has a story. Everybody's story is unique, but they're all the same in the sense that they had to fight to get to where they want, and they had to take those steps and be brave enough to think outside the box and do something that's outside the box. You know, the rewards, it's great. It is amazing. I get to travel the world, bruh. You know, meet so many great people. You know what I mean? Bruh. Like, do things like this, have interviews. Bruh. Like, come on, man. Like, this is life. This is life, you know?
This is life.
This is how life is supposed to be lived, you know? I got a graphic on Swerve City Podcast. Look, and thank you for using like a...
He used good pictures.
There's always like smiley pictures and like, Kofi Kingston, you know? You got some aggressive looking pictures. You know?
That's how we attack life. See it?
Mike the
that's
God.
That's me.
Mike the Goat.
Mike the Goat. Mike the Goat. That's it right Mike there. The you got...
I'll go ahead and exchange
you got me looking brolic. Yeah. I'm not playing around.
Let's go, Trey.
I'm not playing around.
Let's go, Trey. You know?
Yeah.
Y'all gonna have to exchange informations up in here,
it's
man.
It's not always about the smile, okay? There's some aggression.
Look
some
at that, look at that.
Looking
you
up.
See it?
You see it? I'm gonna imitate it right now.
Look at that. Zoom, go close in on that.
You see it, you see it.
Woo, boy!
It starts ready. With the eye.
Get him.
You look up.
Y'all
get him. And then you let the chin follow.
Get him.
Ruthless aggression. You see it. Yeah.
Good times.
Come on,
so,
man.
Current events right now. We got these IG battles going on. Next week, they saying they got Luda versus Nelly.
Yes.
As much as I would like to root for Nelly, I've been a Luda fan since I was yay high, and I don't think Nelly has the hits that stack up to Luda's hits.
It's...
Also his features, also the songs that he wrote, also yada, yada, yada. Just the Fast and Furious soundtrack.
He said everything you did, including Murphy Lee's hits.
hey, throw him on there, too.
Hey.
We'll give you Shake a Tail Feather. Go ahead, have it.
Work with me. Just become one with the beat, Tim. Don't worry about me stepping all over your feet.
Ooh, as soon as stand-up comes on.
That's all he got to play.
Oh, no.
That's all he got to play, man.
We're going to throw in Murphy Lee's feature in Welcome to Atlanta remix, because we're going to need all the help.
And all three mixtapes, if you can find them. I use mixtapes to
at song 12, man. Another like, oh, I wrote this ball for this person. Like, hey, you, bro.
I'm currently using i20's mixtape to balance my couch out there, but I still think take two of his best songs and put them up in there with Nelly, and man. I think he's still.
Bro, i20 low key is one of the video game
not like this.
Theme song makers, bro.
Not like this.
His catalog for video games is up there for like GOAT status. i20 can get you hype on the video game.
Yo. Fighting in the club.
Fighting in the club. Like, bro, come on, dog. Like,
hold on, I ain't gonna fight i20.
Oh, hold on, we don't wanna fight. Hold on, it was just an idea.
Like, easy, man. I like it. You're good on fight night.
You're lying on me right now.
You're good on fight night one. Just leave me alone. But, We're going to take it to the session. This new little thing we're trying out. We did it last week, and it was a great time. Now that we have this, you know, Swervetron 9000.
Swervetron.
Right,
yeah. There it is. Hey.
I'm going to get to the copyright sooner or later. But, we got this nice little thing donated from the Swole family themselves.
Oh,
we're going to get a roast session going on. Last week, we had Austin Theory in here, and we roasted sneakers, some bad sneakers that we saw or... We seen growing up in high school, war, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
What are some bad fighting games? Since you're a fighting game guy, what are some bad fighting games that we can just roast right here on the Swervetron 9000?
Hit him with a left. Man, it's bad fighting. It's hard, man, because I appreciate the terrible ones, too. Like,
oh, do
going
ya?
Back, so, like, Primal Rage is a... Is that? But I appreciated it though.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah. I mean,
at the graphics too. Like
it's like getting past all the fight nights.
Yeah.
Until you're a champion.
What was the Knockout Kings?
Knockout Kings was a good game.
That was a good game.
Yeah. What was the one I'm thinking of?
Real good
game.
There
was like 18 boxing games at that time that came out all at the same time. what, Prize before Fight Night took off.
Oh, Ready to Rumble came out, but that was a good game too.
Is there such a thing as a bad fighting game?
If the boxing game is named after one boxer, it's trash.
Mike Tyson's Punch Out? That was a good one. Well,
that's
there you go. See? Okay. That's a classic. Oh, no, come on
that.
Now.
Let's see if we can get that Primal Rage up here. Because I need to spark my...
Look, and you have to keep in mind, the graphics were ahead of their time at the time, okay? You go back and play... Actually, it might still hold up. I think we played it on Up, Down, Down. I feel like it still kind of holds up. Primal Rage?
What was the one I'm thinking of?
What are you thinking of?
I'm telling you.
Primal Rage. I might be thinking of something else.
Pit Fighter was pretty good.
What's that? Say something about it.
Say something about it. Everybody in here know what tight lip means.
I'm trying to think of a primal. There was another fighting game where you like fought as people and then you turned into animals. What was this?
Oh, Bloody Roar?
Yes, that one. That was amazing.
I'm telling you, there's such a thing as a bad fighting game.
Now that was amazing. I don't know what Primal Rage is. That's what I need to see.
Put Primal Rage on there. It was all dinosaurs. Okay.
Sega Genesis, right?
Yeah. Sega Genesis.
Okay, so this is, yeah.
Had like a caveman on there.
Man.
Or a gorilla. Like, yeah.
Gorilla.
It was ahead of the time. It was ahead of its time.
Primal Rage.
I just have an appreciation for fighting games, man.
What? What?
Bad games? Look.
Yeah.
Oh, come on. Come on. It was ahead of his time now.
Who put Rampage in the game? In the fighting game?
Man, exactly. That was dope.
I remember using him. All he did was this. Right. That's all he did.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. That's right.
My kids drew this.
Blizzard. And then you had another two.
If you saw someone playing this at the arcade, it was those exact two characters going at
Yeah.
That's a fact.
There's nobody else.
There was another gorilla, but he was like
McGilla gorilla.
Like a fire,
it's
or,
like
I don't
playing
know.
Killer Instinct. You know,
Killer Instinct too.
Like one of them, Killer Instinct Gold.
That was Chief Thunder. Yeah. Glacier. Cinder. Yeah. Come on, Jago. Orchid. That was a good game.
That was a fighting game. That was a fighting game. I never bothered to remember the names for.
Come on, man.
I was Tekken.
The soundtrack. The soundtrack. I still listen to the soundtrack. Yeah. You had what's the skeleton dude on there? What was his name? That's really gonna aggravate me.
He looked like the dude from Medieval.
Yeah. But the soundtrack too. I mean, come I don't know what we're supposed to be talking about. It's supposed to be a roast.
Man.
But you know,
let me add it. See? Like they did this graphics with finger paint. What is going on right here?
This was ahead of it. You got to keep in mind. We've come a long way.
Yeah, there's Moana over here.
Yeah. Look at her.
What's going on right now?
The soccer ball's out of
me. You saw a gorilla and a dinosaur fighting, you'd be running around too. You know? You've been trying to get out of there.
Now when the sky's purple. I'm like, hey, what's going on?
You got a pterodactyl over here?
What is going on?
And I sure know wouldn't be carrying no pillow.
Well, that might be all you have.
That's all we
Take
need.
Take the pillow, you know?
You remind me of that scene in Hercules where Hercules messes up the whole Chi-Town. Samson, you know your power
you know?
Is gone.
Oh, God. Yeah. Vertigo?
Come on, man.
This is Primal Rage?
Ahead of its time. Ahead of its time.
What is happening here?
It's a thing. That's a thing. You see it?
It's a dangerous thing.
It's a very
dangerous
thing.
Get away
from
it.
You don't want to fight. You get too close. Oh, what do you have over here? And then that's it.
It makes you bleed.
Are these Native Americans?
Listen.
I don't know. It's like a Stonehenge, but they're worshiping.
Isn't this in Ireland?
I don't know. Who's to say? Who's to say?
UK, right?
It could be.
Speaking of Mortal Kombat, though, like this brings me to this point. You're thinking about bad.
Shut up, Deku.
One of the bad reviews of Mortal Kombat is the one. Which one is the one where you press the buttons, you press L1, you get the weapon at the time?
Deadly Alliance. Yeah.
Was that a lot of people liked that? A lot of people didn't like that.
What was the there was a 3D one.
Kung Lao was kind of boss in that game when he had his sword. That and Quan Chi's hammer.
Quan Chi, yeah.
His hammer was just like
was quick too, man.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, he was ahead of his time as OP.
Him. All I heard was you cheating. You cheating.
I don't know. I can't think of a bad fighting game. That's me. I have yet to hear and no one else. I heard someone say yes. Nobody else.
It's PlayStation. Okay.
Well,
do you call that a fighting game or do you call that a Rumble or?
Oh, I don't know about that one. I ain't seen it.
Would you call it a fighting game? I don't consider Smash Brothers a fighting game.
I wouldn't consider it a fighting game. Is that a fighting game?
It's a brawl for all.
Brawl? I got one for you. That's
different. Is Fighting Force a good game?
Have I played Fighting Force?
For 64 PlayStation?
I don't think I'm familiar with that. I played that with my grandma. Fighting Force?
Fighting Force?
Can we get a shot? Can we get a shot of Fighting Force? Can we see?
Can we see? Hawk and Smash. I think that was the name.
Yep. The first one. The second one was just like one dude, and you just like went through levels and stuff. Mm. I played that on Dreamcast. Fighting Force 2, like, ooh, was more the adventure game.
Okay.
Hey, now.
Polygons.
Wait, look at
Hawk. Hawk. Okay. AJ Hawk.
Look at my girl with the stapler gun.
You see it?
Wow. This is like Die Hard. Yeah.
I'm mad because it do.
Titan Tower right here.
That's it.
That's it.
That's why Money in the Bank happened right over there, right down the block. Boom.
Oh, I see Alistair.
You.
Are these guys police? Are they on the police force?
I don't know, man. What are the police cars doing? What are they doing?
Look at them.
Just
gonna let them run around and you know wreak havoc on the town.
Now, because they're gonna arrest somebody. In Fighting Force, the cop car is like Cadillacs. You know what I'm saying?
So, oh, Monte Carlo.
Look at them. Beating up thugs.
I don't know, man.
If I see another cop picking a man up like that, I'm not fighting you.
He's like, bro, guys,
it's time to go.
I just got my basic security license, baby. I wasn't supposed to be doing all that.
Smasher. I ain't even messing with you.
Smasher?
I'm not even messing with you.
He looked like Jack from Tekken.
He does look like Jack.
Didn't it feel like in PlayStation games, like fighters, they kind of just recycled them from one game?
Right. Yeah.
Especially on PlayStation games.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's where I be seeing Jacks and all other types of video.
There's a Jacks, there's a Law in every game.
Yeah.
There's a Paul.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep. There's a Ryu.
That's right.
Yeah, like, because of.
Headband on,
But Virtual Fighter, they had. Yep. And Ryu, they had the same guy. I'm like, what was the name? I don't know. Nobody remembers. Who played Virtual Fighter? I played the hell out of Virtual Fighter.
Is that the one?
I mean, that's probably the closest one.
We got one. Because
there's a lot of things I would play before Virtual Fighter. You know, Tekken and like even Street Fighter and obviously Mortal Kombat.
What does Soul Calibur rank for you?
I like the earlier Soul Calibur.
Me too.
Yeah.
Yep.
The new
ones.
One that just came out, we were like heavy into Tekken, Tekken 7, and we tried to get into it, and then we just kind of kept gravitating back towards Tekken. So, I don't know. It just wasn't... Tekken, it, man.
I couldn't get into them. Like, yeah, Soul Reaver or whatever it was called. What was that?
Soul Blade.
Yeah, Soul Reaver was the other one. Yeah. But, yeah, like,
welcome
even at the
stage of history. Mitsurugi.
I'm like, who's talking? Yeah. This is lame, man.
The grueling battle ended with the victory. Skip. You fall off into the water off the raft. You know?
Like, yeah, you would try to skip the monologue to be so long.
You done made a sandwich. You like, you still talking?
Hey.
Stop.
But again, the soundtrack. Come on, man. Don't sleep on that Soul Calibur soundtrack. Bro, I got that on my iPad, too.
Oh, man. I'm
telling you, man.
I'm trying to think of
Cervantes?
Oh,
no. No.
Come on, man. Yeah.
With the two. Come on,
I like
man.
Max.
Yeah. Two swords. Maxi with the nunchuck. Yeah.
I like Max.
Killik with the. Oh.
Anybody with nunchucks.
Nah, hey,
yep. I'm like,
on, man.
What do you got in his hand? Yeah. Yep. He's my
just button mashing, you know?
Hold up, little Michelangelo.
Yeah.
See, this looks like Chrono Cross. This cover.
It does.
The covers were cycled too at that time. Everything was the same.
They just cut Chun-Li monologue hair and just put it again.
That's also June.
Yep.
That's also Nina. That's also Anna. That's also.
And then the same prostitutes I'll be running over at Vice City.
Oh, Lord.
Just be in the car. Look what you done to me.
The way to control it.
It's me, the auto lady.
Hold on, let me back up. Oh, God. I think it.
Oh, man. Games, man.
games.
Yes.
Yeah.
Great. One hit. That was like one hit kills.
Well, yeah. Right.
But so you had to be strategic with like, and then like wounded, the arm was done.
Yeah,
yo, that was that's a game ahead of its time, way ahead of its time, and nobody capitalized on it.
Mm-hmm.
I need that back, but then I'll get pissed because like, like, bro, I wasn't even there.
There it is.
Oh my god, I played Bushido Blade 2. That's the one I had. Yeah, yeah.
Well, they drew chalk.
Man, talk up. All right, man, get your soul.
Clapping the races up here. Like, and when I was a kid, I used to like always like my fantasy world went super far, way too in the game. I'm like, what did y'all do? What were y'all doing in this area to have a conflicting argument right here? How do we get to the
man, meet me at the bridge, but don't go on the bridge.
Yeah.
In front of the bridge.
You know I'm scared of bridges. I don't cross bridges.
You know I don't cross them.
But I'll fight you.
But I'll fight you in front of one.
Yeah. So he was on his journey path here. He was going this way. So I'm like, what made y'all get here? Yeah. This is a Sub-Zero outfit. He stole that from Sub-Zero. Lord Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
They the same person if you think about it.
Well, you got Aquaman.
Yeah. Essentially the same person.
That old dude off of SpongeBob.
Who?
Which one?
The old dude off of SpongeBob. They were like superheroes.
Oh, Mermaid Man, Barnacle Boy.
Yes.
Oh no.
Man, it's time to take this to a closing, man.
Come on.
Yes, this was a historic episode. We can't thank you enough.
Yeah, no, thank you.
Like,
guys.
Seriously, like, I've been saying, like, yo, I think I can get Kofi to do this.
Yeah, man. I'm always down.
And I was like, what a great spirit you have, man. Energy. Yeah. You made everybody in here's day. Shoot, week, month, year, life.
Oh, come on, man. Come on. Yeah.
He's out.
You lie.
You don't be on the scale.
Yeah,
you
just
lie. You lie. You cool.
Yeah.
Yeah,
all right.
You cool.
Oh, man. Nah, thank you guys for having me on.
From the bottom of my heart, thank you for coming through, man.
My pleasure.
Like, you got a million followers. You don't need to plug the stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, but say something to the camera. To the people
yeah. You know, if you want to follow me on the Twitter, you can follow me at True Kofi. On the Instagram at The True Kofi. And always check out our New Day Pod. You see the shirt, the cross promotion, you know. Our episodes come out pretty much once a week on Mondays. You know, you could download wherever you get your podcast. You know what I'm saying? Stitcher. Oh, yeah. Go to shop, WWE.com, you know. And
not that in. Hard.
You see it. Yeah.
My apologies.
It should be up there.
And also, my apologies for everybody in the NXT page tagging your name, thinking it's me.
Oh, no. It's a lot of us, you know. We all just get looped in the same, you know. You know, I told Chris Bay, I saw, because you know he was an extra one time, you know. I said, hey, I've been thinking about dyeing my hair, you know.
You told him, see?
Yeah, I said, yeah, come on, man.
And he did it.
I said, it looks good. You might see me, you know. He's like, oh, people already confuse us. I'm like, you know, we throw us in the same hat, you know what I'm saying? So. Yeah, shout out to Chris Bay for being the guinea pig. Yeah. I bit his style. I did it. Yeah, I said it.
You know? Like, I'm beneficial. I've been here.
Are you beneficial or are you beneficial? Yeah, we already biting finishing moves, but moving on. I said it. Mm-hmm. It's my show.
A lot of heat. Come see me. Oh, my. Getting hugged. This is awkward. Yikes.
Anyway, anything y'all got going on? Y'all need the plugs?
T Scott, Instagram, Twitter, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Bring up the graphic of the album, bruh.
Come on,
still
man.
Still streaming. Oh, he's on.
Oh,
Mike.
Wow.
Shout out to
Mike. Wow.
Look at y'all.
On all digital platforms. Make sure you cop that.
Wow. Spotify.
It's $9.99, man. Y'all got $10. Y'all spend $10 on worse. Go ahead and cop this.
Yeah. Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Unsubscribe to a subscription for a month.
Yeah, there you go. Except Spotify. And that's where you're going to need this. You know what I mean? Go ahead and cop that.
Featuring the
great body of work,
Leo
man.
Rush.
The most buff, the most buff young man.
Mega Ran's featured on here.
Oh, Mega Ran's on here. Yeah.
Yours truly.
Nikki Facts.
Big Swole is on the track.
She West on the track.
Doing y'all got bars. Songbirds.
Okay, y'all got
we
bars.
We wrote the whole album
okay.
together. Took a year to do it. A month on a song, per song. Literally, listen to this journey that we put on this album.
So,
in a
Kofi,
musical melody.
I'm going to text Mega Ran. You next.
Oh, for what?
Studio.
It's right there.
You want to sell records, right? You want to sell records. Yeah, you're not trying to.
According to what's on
away.
The radio now, brother, it couldn't be any much worse.
I'm not a rapper. What do you say?
Neither.
You know what I'm saying?
All of them.
Yeah, majority of them people. Yeah,
but yes.
Nah, man, that's not for me.
But be confident in everything you do, everybody.
Wash ass.
Or you gonna get a pop.
Hey.
Oh.
Hey. Hey.
Mm-hmm.
And we did it.
Yeah.
Yes. Hey.